So, Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word to us. We thank you for your call for us to trust in you. We pray, Lord, that we might be open to your word tonight, that we might respond in our hearts. Pray for your spirit to teach and to counsel and to lead us into all truth. Help me, Lord, to break open your word. Your people tonight. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So this is an important moment. We've been following through the little seminar that we've been started a couple of weeks ago here at St. Benedict's at the 7 p.m. Mass, because this is a moment for us to open our lives, to decide, to respond to the action of God in us. You see, we live in an age where it's very much about keeping your options open. You know, you often find that when people are invited to something, they will put off as long as they can. I'm sure people here don't do that, but they put off as long as they can, just until about, you know, an hour before, no other good things have come up. Yes, I'll be there. It's sort of keeping our options open. You know, and there's something about deep within us and within our culture too of what's the spiritual smorgasbord out there, you know? What sort of meets my particular spiritual taste? Yes, Jesus is there, but he's maybe one amongst many saviors of the world. I'm sure that's not the most people here, but there can be this whole kind of sense of keeping my options open. It has been in a time in our culture which was called the time of the seekers, not the old band, but people used to be seeking, you know, truth, seeking, you know, what is truth? What's the meaning of life? You see, when people encounter Jesus, the seeking finishes. I've come before the truth. I've come before the revelation of God in flesh, in Jesus. I don't need to seek any further. I simply need to make a response. You see, Jesus comes amongst us to reveal the divine plan of God wanting to be at home in us. We're told that the Word, in the beginning, the Word was with God. The Word, we're told, was in the bosom of God, close to the heart of God. Isn't that a beautiful expression? It's in John's Gospel, right in the first chapter. And then the Word was made flesh. He pitched his tent amongst us. God wants to be with us. Jesus comes to reveal this at-homeness. God wants to be at home with us. And see, we're given God's Spirit. We're given the Spirit of Jesus. We're given the Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. We're given in baptism. So the person we know best in our life, the person who knows us best, is the Holy Spirit. Most of us were baptized as little ones, you know, little fellas, don't we? Anyone remember their baptism? Should be a few people from the RCIA here, remember? Yeah. It's you've received God's Spirit. And the Spirit witnesses to us the truth. The truth. You see, Jesus stands very unapologetically, without any equivocation, without any confusion. He stands in the gospel. And he says to his disciples, as he says to them, trust, trust in me and trust in the Father. For in my Father's house there are many rooms. Rooms doesn't quite get it because we start to think of some heavenly motel. And we start to deck out our room in heaven. Will there be this, Lord? Will there be that? Will I have my own ensuite? You know, it doesn't quite get it. I mean, it sort of does. It's the God saying there will be a secure place, but it's really about the indwelling of God, that we will dwell in God and God will dwell in us. Those rooms, those spaces are the indwelling of God in us, and that begins today, or begins when we're baptized. But in a special sense, it sort of begins today because we want to open up and acknowledge the presence of God's Spirit with us, in us, revealing the truth. I don't convert anyone, and neither do you. The Holy Spirit changes the hearts and minds of every human being. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals the truth, because when we encounter the truth heals. When we, even if we're quite confused in our minds or sick in our spirit, or we our minds are broken or our spirits are broken in some way, when we are exposed to the truth, when we hear the truth, when we are before the truth, we begin to heal. Our lives begin to be ordered around the truth. People often say, you know, in some ways I wish I remained in the darkness, because now my life seems to be, there's a whole lot of things I have to do to grow into wholeness and healing. You ever found that? Because God is ordering us to the fullness of life. So don't be discouraged if you feel like that your life is being sort of reordered around Jesus. That he will walk with us. He says to trust. Trust in him. Trust. That in my Father's house there are many rooms. You see, that gospel text is really, we could think it's about Jesus at the Last Supper because it's in the context of that. And in some senses it is. Jesus saying, you know, I'm going away from you to prepare a place, but when I return, I'll take you with me. So Jesus at the Last Supper, he's going away so that they might experience that fullness and that indwelling, to experience that place, will be through his suffering and through his death that we heard about last week, the salvation of Jesus. Through his suffering, death, and the returning was his resurrection, the resurrection appearances. But this isn't so much why we're reading it in this Eastertide. As we read this gospel now, it's about the next departure of Jesus to the Father. He ascends into heaven, and what we're left with is the church, us. And he's saying to us, hey, I want you to be with me where I am. That has an enormous effect on our lives, doesn't it? I have a room booked in heaven, not the motel, but I have a dwelling place forever in God. That affects everything. That affects the way I see life now, the decisions I make. That affects everything. You see, God is calling us, calls us into the truth and to live the truth. And the disciples are perplexed. They're saying, well, you know, what's this truth? What's the way? You say that you know, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But what's this way? How do we get there? How do we get this communion? How do we get this indwelling? And Jesus says, it's through me. You don't have to go any further. You don't have to look anywhere else. You don't have to prove yourself to me. It's through me. It's a beautiful thing about Jesus in the resurrection, isn't it? He doesn't come with a lot of rules and say, you can share the resurrection life if you do this and this and this and that and that and that. He says, he simply comes and appears, and he holds out before them his wounds, now glorified. He comes in person. He gives himself to us. And so he breathes his spirit onto the disciples as he breathes his spirit into us to counsel us, to teach us, to open us to the indwelling presence of God and to Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. I remember when I was going through one of these seminars, and it was a kind of about this sort of night where we were talking about the closeness and the presence of God and God's Spirit who comes to counsel, to teach, who makes an incredible difference to our lives as we open up and surrender. We start to become that people of God that we talked about with the praise of God on our lips. The people who are set apart, the people who are consecrated, a consecrated nation that Paul talks about, the people who have walked out of darkness into his wonderful light. When I first experienced that kind of opening to God's Spirit in a new way in my life, was just a deep sense of God's overwhelming love. And just a deep sense of God saying, I love you. I was actually at home in my parents' house. I was kind of laying in bed, and I was struggling with these young people who are always talking about a personal relationship with Jesus and how they'd experienced the Holy Spirit in their lives. And I thought, oh, yeah, well, I've been a Catholic all my life. Yeah, I kind of know what you're talking about. But they kept sharing about how personally God had worked in their lives, and something struck me about whether I had that same personal relationship with Jesus. And I had to come to a place where I realized where I didn't. And in that moment, I recognized something. It was a deep desire to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Where do you think that desire came from? That was God's Spirit. It was a godly desire. So the Spirit gave me that godly desire, and I cried out to God. How come you give everyone else this experience of yourself and not me? I love you, Steve. I love you. I love you. I love you. It's just like a waterfall. Keep going and going, you know. I love you, I love you, I love you. And I had to get to a point where I said, I don't think I can take any more of this. There's only so much love, you know, you can have. And I said, stop. Not quite late, but I said, stop. You better stop. I could explode here. And I just kind of had this deep sense of God's gentleness and his Spirit. Just those were the words. I'd kind of opened myself to experience his love. And it was that personal relationship that I'd so sought, but the Holy Spirit had come to enable me, it had broken into my consciousness, and I could actually know that Jesus was personal to me. I didn't have to go anywhere else. Even if the best psychologist in the world said, you were deluded last night, Steve, you just had a dream. In fact, I thought that way too. I thought the next time I wake up in the morning, I'm going to think, that was all a dream last night. So the Lord gave me a little prayer. And it was, Lord, I turn away from everything that is not of you. All the things that have been sinful in my life, I turn away from. It was just a kind of spontaneous prayer. No one had to teach me. I just started to pray this prayer. I want to turn away from everything and open my life to you. Do you know that prayer was the first thing on my mind when I woke up in the morning? So there was no sort of, I knew I wasn't deluded myself. And then I told someone who lived in the same house, probably one of my parents, I think. And I said, oh, this is what happened to me last night, thinking, oh, they're going to think you're crazy. But they'd been involved and open to the Spirit for many years, and they said, that's the Lord. So this experience of the Holy Spirit is very real, and God desires for each one of us in our own way to experience his Spirit and that personal relationship with Jesus. And he invites us into that relationship. He invites us into that experience. It what makes the difference in our lives that Jesus knows us personally and leads us. He will never leave us alone. And he has gone also before us to prepare that place. But it's not like a sense of, you know, we've got to get there. He's actually with us, carrying us all the way, all the time, dwelling more deeply in us. And his spirit cries within us, Paul says. His Holy Spirit cries within us, Abba Father. The Father who is our origin and our destiny. We belong. Even if we've had really bad experience, we're not talking about earthly fathers here. We're talking about the biblical Father, you know, God, who is our origin, who is our life, who is our destiny. So as we come into the Eucharist tonight, we hear in the third Eucharistic prayer a really beautiful line. It says, all those who receive or eat the body and blood of Jesus would be filled with the Holy Spirit. We must expect tonight for the Holy Spirit to be released more deeply into our lives and into our consciousness and into our relationships. This very night, as we hear those words, we pray that as the Spirit comes down upon us and consecrates us, that we are filled with his life, with his goodness. We're filled with a new trust and a new hope and a new energy for the gospel.